Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, and we are so truly happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So, a little background on the podcast. I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. My mission is to expand that quote-unquote societal definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and empower people, especially adults, to own their talents that come in so many different forms. So I've created this space so that I can get to talk to people that have all different jobs, hobbies, and interests, and we get to have a conversation about their experiences and perspectives, all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation and we see where it goes from there. So I have had the honor to have spoken to entrepreneurs as young as 13, handwriting specialist, biologist, personal organizer, doctor, lawyer, and so many more. And the idea is that by sharing their stories, we get to explore the space of expressing yourself, giving yourself permission to take time for your interests and explore possibilities. And by doing all of this and incorporating it into your world daily, I promise you will feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. So, let me introduce my inspiring guest for today is
Chris Hampton. Chris is the founder of the Champ I Am organization. He enjoys challenging and motivating entrepreneurs, leaders, as well as youth organizations to break out of their comfort zones. He is all about empowering, and equipping them to release their inner champ. Chris, welcome to the space.
Oh, it's great to be a part of the space. Thank you for inviting me. Can you hear me clearly?
I can. Yes. Yeah. I was hoping you could hear me as well. I'm really so happy to have you here because this is going to be such a fun conversation.
I'm excited. I love to be able to be around creatives anyway. So that's a great opportunity.
So Chris, why don't you tell us before we dive into everything, you had so much to say in your bio, and I know we're going to dive into it more as we talk, but maybe give like a little bit more as to what you do, maybe a little bit what you did before your organization and what kind of led you up to where you are.
Wow. What I did before I created Champ I Am, I was in sales most of my life. I've always known that I was going to be an empowerment speaker, just didn't know how it was going to happen. It took me having a heart attack scare 5 years ago to realize that, you know, there was more to my life than what I was living every day. Part of the pressure of that was, you know, I was working two jobs and dreaming. So dreaming about what life could be. And then what happened was on my way home from my night job, I had a heart palpitation. And I said that didn't feel right. So I went to the hospital and then the specialist was like, yeah, you had a heart attack.
Wow. Oh my God, that's insane.
The blessing was I didn't have a heart attack and the guy scared me. But the reality of that situation was what was going, you know, when you have those, you call them near life situations where you just have to evaluate life. Well, what was going through my mind was not that I had a heart attack, not that I almost could have died. What was going through my mind was I was screaming in on my insides was you haven't done what you're supposed to do yet. And I didn't, the thought of leaving here without doing the impact or leaving the impact of Champ I Am. That's what started the journey. Cause I didn't want to leave here full. I think one of the great, you hear great motivational speakers talk about the cemetery is the place where most treasure is hidden. It's because people never tap into their potential and they live the life comfortable, but never really reaching down and you know, giving back the gift that they were given.
Wow. That's so incredibly powerful. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, how long did it take from that realization 5 years ago for Champ I Am to then be born?
Well, it was not for long after that. I was, actually starring in a movie with independent movies. So I have IMD credits that I got by accident because I didn't even really know that I could have them. So I helped a friend out with his independent movie. And ended up being a major part of the movie called Love Like This. And at the release, which was sometime around the same time as I had the scare, at the release, I had a gentleman who was one of the actors there. I was just encouraging him, just doing what I normally do, which is a part of my gifting, is just to encourage and empower people. And he says, "You need to do this." And I was like, "It's all my heart to do it," but I was making excuses for myself. And he was saying, "You need to do this. The world needs to hear you." And then, like, shortly right after that, like a week after that, I made business cards. And I was having part of the scream and the script that I had was like, "Who's going to hire me? Nobody knows me. Nobody knows my name." And then on the inside of me was the word "speak." And what I did was I went where people spoke. So I joined Toastmasters and I introduced myself as, "My name is Chris Hampton and I'm a motivational speaker." I didn't say I was trying to be a motivational speaker. I created the space for me to be a motivational speaker. And every time I would have those 7-minute speeches, I would come up with something motivational. And I'm saying, "I'm Chris Hampton and I'm a motivational speaker and I'm the guy you want to have," basically. And they saw me develop until I became 6 months a competition speaker. And within 6 months of me being in Toastmasters, I had won two competitions. One was the humorous speech competition for South Jersey. And I ended up winning that, not even believing that I was funny, but I was realizing that as I was telling my story, I was telling real life, like, tragic stories, but people were laughing because of the way I was relaying the story back. And it was humorous. And I ended up winning that one, not really thinking that I was going to win. And then the other one that I won was the, we call it table topics, where they just make up stuff and throw it on the table. And you got 1 minute to respond. And I ended up winning. I won for that for South Jersey, and I came in third place and second place for Pennsylvania. So I'm now an award-winning speaker. So it didn't take much for me to start doing that, to just start building credibility. And over the past few years, all I would do is find a platform to speak. You and I are share the same platform, the Mentor Studio. All I do is just jump in opportunities where there are times where we speak, and it's not anything special. It's just taking the opportunities to speak where your gift is. I believe there's a saying, there's a biblical proverb that we usually hold on to that says that your gift will make room for you and bring you before great people. So if you don't use your gift, how can your gift make room for you?
Oh my gosh. Okay. This is going to be, I love it. I love it. I love it. And you're really obviously good at improvisation, which is that whole thing with Toastmasters. And, it's like the whole acting thing of being in that space and feeding off of, either what the audience says or the energy of, the person that you're working off of is saying, to build off of it and create from that space.
It's just being able to flow, and learn to just flow. The reason why I'm able to flow and see opportunities the way they are is because I have a sense of vision and purpose. So I really talk a lot about vision and purpose, and those are the two lenses that you need to see life through. And the reason why is because vision is a prefer a mental a clear mental picture of your preferable future, where purpose is the intentional steps that you're taking to reach the vision. And a lot of times people are having trouble creating in their life the life that they can have. It's because they're not seeing vision for their own life. They live by sight, what's right in front of them. And they're basing all of their decisions in life based off of sight decisions, which is not enough information to make a decision. So we run ourselves in roots, in these loops of going to work, coming home, taking care of your family, going to sleep, waking back up, going to work, coming back home, taking care of your family, and going to sleep. And that's a cycle. And a lot of people are sick because they've lost the desire to create, because they've lost focus, because they've not seen further enough as they should.
So let's start here. Let's start with the would you rather question, and then we're going to dive in, and this is going to unfold really, really nicely.
We
So,
didn't go too fast.
because this is going to lead into like, this is going to be, it's a really good, it's a good promo to what's going to be coming. So, Chris, would you rather be friends with Superman or Spider-Man?
Ooh, Spider-Man. Superman has a
Why?
comp Superman has I think Superman has a hero complex, so I kind of stay away from hero complex people, where I think Spider-Man is kind of developing and experiencing it as he's growing into his powers, where Superman just knows that basically there's only a couple things that can kill me, so I'm just going to take it on. Problem I have with Superman is anybody that's around him that doesn't have superpowers, they get the blowback. They don't got the kryptonite, they have to worry about to take them down. They don't got the superpowers of the sun and all that stuff to take them down. So, you get backblast unless you can get on his level. Spidey, he mixes it up.
I love
Oh,
it.
you didn't think I followed the comics, huh?
I don't know. It's so funny because I kind of pick like 15 minutes before, honestly, I do a podcast. I kind of feel out which question I should ask. So I don't know. They're random. So
You could tell I'm a table topics winner,
I don't know. It just kind of feels it out. So I don't know. The whole Superman just always, I never fully got him. Like the whole joke thing with how does anybody not see that it's Clark Kent? I mean, he's just wearing his underwear basically with a cape. I mean, there's nothing on
that's.
his face. Like that just doesn't, I
But
don't
you know what?
understand.
I think it's a deeper meaning, and I don't want to get too
Yeah, it
deep
is.
on this
It
concept. It's a
is.
deeper meaning because we
It
see what we want to see in life, and that's basically saying we see what we want to see in life. Like when you gonna put up, one and one together with Batman and be like he's got all the expensive toys. He's rich enough to make all the toys. Oh, Bruce Wayne. So, it's great.
Which actually, what you just said, we see what we want to see, was kind of a lot what you were just saying about vision and purpose. So let's dive into the first question, which is, how do you define creativity?
Oh, I love that question. I've been thinking about that question, and I define creativity as the ability to create. I'm trying to say, how can I say it without using the word create? The ability to manifest within our imagination, because our imagination is one of the most powerful gifts that God has given us. But it's so powerful that we have to train our imagination, because your imagination can work against you. Because if you imagine in your life that you can't do something, what happens is you won't do it. But if you imagine that you can do all things, and that you can, that there's nothing that you can't do, you just haven't figured out how to do it, then the creative juices in your mind will create the page that you need to get what you need to do. So creativity is using that imagination to be able to manifest whatever you think your world should be. You have the ability to make it.
When you were a kid, did you feel like you had like limitless imagination? Do you remember?
I remember when I was a kid, so I liked fantasy and sci-fi books. Like when I'm like I'm a Doctor Who fan from kid, like from birth. So I like I my imagination has always been the ability to see outside the box, to the point that even in business and in the business world now that I'm in now, the ability to brainstorm, it goes all the way back to my ability to be able to free think as a child.
I think that's a really good point, is putting it in those terms of free think. Because when I speak about this and talking about it to people within the business world, there's such a disconnect of now it's a lot more open because there's been more conversation about the word creative and creativity. Sometimes I think it gets overused, but there's more of a acknowledgement of the word itself. But so many people, which is my whole purpose of why we're talking and what I'm trying to do, is expand the societal definition of what creativity is. So when I'm talking to someone who is within a business realm, and we talk about, like you said, being able to see outside the box, being able to have use our imagination to be able to have these conversations, and creating something, people are like, "Oh, I didn't think of it that way."
Well, I just think that it needs to have boundaries. So what's happening, the reason why business people don't like visionaries too much, they like visionaries when we finally produce what we need to do, because then they can put their hands around it. they can put their mind around it. But a lot of times in the business world, it's about control and control. And what happens is you have to give visionaries and creatives the ability to function without feeling controlled and creating that space. Because a lot of people like regiment and they like the regiment. So people that are like the regiment sometimes are very difficult to deal with when it comes to innovation because they want to see what's been proven. Us creators, we like to work in a different realm. And there's a way of doing it. And because they need, I just got I remember when I got elevated to a position of management, and because they liked it because of the way I thought. And they call me an out-of-box thinker. I'm thinking outside of the box because they need something fresh because they basically created a world of clones because they all think the same way and they can't think their way out. So it's just a matter of showing them that we can be creative and not be so woo-woo-y that that we do have boundaries and we can function within the boundaries as well. But then we also need to give ourselves space outside of work where we can think freely and operate freely because everything doesn't revolve around work either.
So it's kind of the word balance. It's finding that balance to be able to have both, because I completely agree and understand what you're saying is like the word that's coming to me is that it's being more concrete, in needing to understand, that something is being created. That, like you said, that it's not just this woo-woo space. It's so funny. It just, I was just thinking about a friend who I love her to death. And she'll admit, like, she's very analytical. She comes from a background of business logistics. So she charts are her happy space of understanding like where the trucks are coming in and where how many how much they're holding and all this kind of stuff. And she had three children and she would make spreadsheets on play dates, like, just because it's a way for her to organize and understand to make sense of it. And but as friends we balance each other really nicely, because I'm kind of like on the opposite end of things where it's like this out of the box going with the flow of it, but then producing something or creating it. It's just a different way of the brain working. And I remember in certain circumstances, she'd say to me, she's like, "Well, did you do the research on it?" I'm like, "Nope, I didn't."
But that's the thing. You are here in my life to fact check me. That's what you look at. Instead of using the word balance, I like the word harmony. So it's like, again, when we think harmony, we're not, when you think balance, you automatically think that there's a struggle to keep everything even. But when you think of harmony, we think about flow. So it's again, we're blending together. We can be on two different wavelengths, but still create beautiful music.
I love that. Yeah, that is really nice. I do really like that replacement of that word harmony.
And it kind of flows, and it just flows. And again, we're trying to leave again, because I know on the extreme side, we do make it bad for ourselves on the creative side, is that we want to float on, but if we float on and we don't have balance, we'll be broke. So we have to have those balance. I can't have too many creatives in the room and not have that one person that's saying, "Okay, guys," because I will tell you right now, I'm one of your favorite people in the project because it gets to the point of getting the ideas out there. But what I really need is someone who has a strong administration skill that can bring it all together and implement it. Because it's just my dreams are just dreams until I can get a team together. And I can lead the team, but I need that person together to bring the analytics. That's why we have our, like, I do an open mic in the city of Camden, and we have that same mix, and we have that every now and then. It's a fight for space, but in the end we end up flowing together because I need to know what the bottom line is. I would love to say I can run this event just on talent alone, but we gotta rent chairs, furniture, we gotta rent, figure out how the sound is going to come through. And that, I'm not even thinking twice about that on a normal everyday creative. So I gotta get I'm now training creatives how to be dual, how to be responsible, how to have both. Because you can be creative and function both ways.
Definitely you can. Yeah. Loving the word implementation. Yeah. It's taking all of that, and you can have all these pie in the sky ideas and but to actually get it to become something and to function and to have all the pieces mixed together. the open mic night. So tell us about that, because I just saw that you were streaming that live and I had no idea that you were doing that. And it's 10 minutes from me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We just celebrated 5 years of doing that last night. And the great thing about that it wasn't started by me. It was started by young people that just wanted a safe space to just do their art. So they were meeting in the Camden store that's on Haddon Avenue. And what happened was they would just come together, do poetry, and have rap sessions. And then I was invited from some of the young people to come. And I became actually the director of the whole entire thing because as visionaries do, they like to jump off and run off. And I kept it going for them while they ran off. And now they're back. But I've trained in the midst of that. We've trained some young people now that are not young. I call them young adults because they're in their 20s now. But I've young leaders. And what we've done is we've created an environment, a safe space. So when I call SAFE, I use the acronym SAFE. Meaning that we created a safe space in the city of Camden. We never had an issue, never had a gunfight, knife fight, any fight. It's always been unity and love. And we have an accepting place where people can come and be themselves and not, it's a judgment-free zone. They can be themselves, express themselves. We have a freedom clause there that they can be free to be them. They can free to use the music, speak the way that they want to talk about the topics that they need to talk about. And then always have an encouraging and an empowering environment. And we run off of that whole entire place. That whole entire vibe has stayed there for like 5 years. I've had people, my youngest host now, that's been with me now for 5 years, she just wanted to sing. And she had a passion to sing. And she had a beautiful voice, just no experience behind the mic. And gave her the job to be our hostess. And for the past 5 years, she's been hosting, and then like within the last 2 years, she came out with her own album, and she's now have her own record release. We got photographers, videographers, young people. They're real talented in the city that normally don't get any type of attention from the city, but we want to have a safe place to vibe out. And what I love about it is we start on time, and it's hard kicking people out at 10 o'clock. But if we do it, and we've been doing it now, and because of COVID, we thought there was going to be because we had to take a break because of COVID. So then our first event was last month after we took a year break after the COVID lockdown. Mm-hmm. And it was like 70 people showed up. Mm-hmm. I was looking for 20 people to show up. There's been times where we had 10, 15 people show up and we still have a blast. But 70 people from the community just showed up and rocked out with us. Last night it was about 60 people that showed up and rocked out with us. And we've been doing that now for 5 years, and that's my way of giving back in the arts. For the city of Camden, I've been appointed by the mayor to be part of the Arts Commission, so I'm vice chair for the Arts Commission for the city of Camden. So I just try to be able to help be that liaison for the community, to make sure the arts in the city are represented and shown well.
Yeah, yeah. So what days, is it always on Friday nights?
No, it's always on the third Saturday of every month. Our next event's going to be Juneteenth, which is a special holiday for the African American community, because that was when we found out that we were free. Our ancestors found out that we were free. We also celebrate July 4th. We celebrate like Juneteenth.
Amazing. Okay. Yeah, definitely going to be at the next one. And yeah, so thank you for sharing about that. When you're working with the clients that you're working with now, what's the common thing that you're seeing? Are you seeing, kind of referring back to imagination, are people stuck? Are people not imagining so much? Are you helping the reimagining process? Or what are you finding the most with the people that you're working with?
I have a wide variety of an audience. So I deal with I've dealt from elementary school up to college age entrepreneurs and senior entrepreneurs and all. And the one thing that I have more with the young people is talking to them about being able to be free to dream. And one of the things I share with the young people is not to fall in love with vehicles. And what I mean by that is a lot of times when you ask people what are they supposed to do in their life, they'll choose a vehicle and not the call itself. Example, if I was to ask somebody, I was just at a training today, and I said, what do you going to do? Well, I like to, can it be more than one thing? I said, well, let me know. Maybe I can streamline it for you. And she was saying that I like to dance. I like music. But you know, I like to, I'm a nurse and I like, but I really, really like to be able to help women who are single moms and help them have stability in their life. And I got boom, ding, 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 ding. I said, what you just chose was vehicle, vehicle, vehicle. And then I finally heard passion. And what we've done is the vehicle is the nursing, the vehicle is the dancing, the vehicle is how we express what we're looking for. I was called to teach. I feel a passion to empower and to impact people. But there is a pressure for me to be, if I tell somebody I want to teach, what's the most obvious thing they're going to send me to? They're going to try to send me to a college or a school.
Right.
But look at what my impact is. My impact is so much greater. I have a global impact now, and I'm teaching the world in the world space.
Right.
My vehicle is motivational speaking, but my passion and my vision for life is to be able to empower people to see their hope, to see their vision, to see their call. Now, with young people, it's easier to show them that. With the older people, it's because we've been driving the same vehicle for 50 years. I use the example. My first car was a doo-doo brown Nissan Datsun.
Okay? Doo-doo brown.
We rode that thing into the ground. But I am not driving the same car that I drove when I got my license when I was in high school. And it's the same thing with life. We kind of shame people for leaving. You're retiring. You're leaving. You have to ride that job till the wheels fall off. No. That job is a vehicle. My purpose is so much grander and greater on the scheme of things. And I got to get you to start dreaming again. Why can't teachers create curriculums that are why can't the teachers create the curriculums and then charge the school system for the curriculum? They don't think that way. They think I got to teach a class. My biggest thing is getting them to see outside of the boxes and the vehicles that they've created for themselves and to dream again.
Yeah, I think that image of the vehicle is such a understandable image. It's relatable. It's a good visual and it's incredibly relatable. And I totally get it being, having the label of being an art teacher for 30 years and working in lots of different kinds of settings, both traditional and non-traditional. Traditional meaning within the school system, non-traditional meaning having my own businesses, working in homeless shelters, working in senior centers, working like in preschools, working in lots of different kinds of places, and getting to meet a whole variety of people and abilities, which is incredible. But when I left the school system, which is now going on 2 years, I just got this, what I realized was that my speak and what I was really saying all the way through was that everybody is a creator. Everybody is creative and it goes beyond just drawing and painting. Mm-hmm. So it makes me crazy as, you know, going to art school and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, you do the traditional, oh, what do you do? What do you do? And people immediately in this defensive manner say, well, I can't draw a straight line and I can't paint. I'm like, well, neither can I. Like right. I went to art school, but my outlet is clay. I went for clay. So it's a different kind of language.
It's amazing because my mom had passed away in December. And as I'm talking to you now, I am looking at her artwork. I have to take a picture and show it to you one day. Basic paintings that are sitting on the wall. She taught me how to doodle. I'm looking at the symmetry in which she just did with rectangles. And I'm looking at this. I'm always amazed at the simplicity of the art. But she was, that was her catalyst. And I'm looking at this and it's hanging up on my wall right now, park scenery, ocean scenery, and just shapes and things like that. Well, she got her therapy when she was in the nursing home from her art and her release. So, you know, a lot of times if you were going to tell somebody, I go into art, your parents look at you and say, there's no money in art. But now we have things such as art therapy that people are looking for that are bigger and on such a bigger scale than just writing, drawing that line. And I think that we have to take the boundaries off of what we have boxed up. our potential is meant for so much bigger impact, but because we have such a narrow view of things, we've really lost the ability to unlock our imagination.
Yeah, totally agree. Because when I had this calling, and first of all, I'm sorry about the loss of your mom.
Thank you.
Yeah, because that's recent. Is that I just, when I was handed the piece of paper saying, are you coming back in the fall? I was like, no, I'm not. And I literally had the FU50s, you know, it was 51. And I'm just like, I'm more than halfway there. And I need to just get out. And I need to just, I want to work with adults who, as you're saying, I wasn't using this terminology, but I love it. I want to help, you know, change up their vehicle. I want to, because within the terminology that I use is people are stuck in adulting and we lose connection. We forget kind of who we are because we're so stuck in responsibility and don't take time for ourselves. We don't mm-hmm. take time. And I'm not saying that everybody has to leave their job and like, you know, there are people that like working for other people. There are people that like being entrepreneurs and that's all amazing. But to me, it's really like take time for you in whatever yes. that is. So you can fill yourself up to be joyful. And then your relationships, the way that you connect with other people is going to be that much better because you feel good because you're filling yourself up instead of depleting yourself.
Well, you know what? I was talking to Christian leaders today. So I had a leadership training that I taught today. And I said, okay, we believe in our side that, you know, God created us in his image and we're in his likeness. So we think like him, we have the ability to create like him and do what he wants to do like him. That's what you're going to say we're going to do that. So I said, God created the earth in 6 days. And I said, what did he do? He rested. If God, the creator of the whole universe, rested on the seventh day, what makes you think that you can live without resting?
Right. Right.
And they all looked at me and I said, you have to create the space to rest. I don't care if it's in that. My resting is me taking a bubble bath. That's my mm-hmm. language. I will put the hot water in the tub, bubble it up, put the candles out, and I have my own woo-woo time all by myself. I don't care if that's your release and that's how you gotta do it. Make time to rest. Your purpose is going to fulfill you and give you that energy, but you need to be able to take the time and make the time and make the world around you respect your rest because it's going to crush you. It's going to crush you because you're feeling like you work for everybody else. I was also sharing with them today. I said, if you don't live your eyes through the eyes of vision and purpose, what happens is you spend your life living as a slave building someone else's monument. Mm-hmm. And I said, I refuse to go to my, I'm halfway to 50 myself. And I'm like, mm-hmm. 50, there's something about 50 that's a transitional mark for me. And I'm like, I refuse to go in my 50s the way I was in my 40s.
Are you new into your 50s? Are you just 50?
No, I'm turning 46 in September.
Okay, okay, so, okay.
But mm-hmm. I'm hitting that in a few years, and I'm like, that's a transitional point for me. I'm like, no, I said if I get a good 20 years left or 30 years left, I want to make sure that I refuse.
It's true.
I'm taking the time during my resting time to be able to imagine what my 50s and my 60s and 70s are looking like. You got to do that now so that you can start creating.
Yeah. I love that. Create the space to rest, whatever that yeah, looks like. Yeah. Create the space to rest. Oh my gosh. So then this is perfect to lead to the second question, which is how do you incorporate creativity into your own life? I know you said creativity. The bubble bath.
Well, the bubble bath is my rest time. My creativity time is being able to make sure that I'm connected with community of like-minded people. Because and making sure that I'm putting demands on my creativity. So the creativity is the creativity of when I do speeches and motivational speeches, and that's part of my creativity time.
Yeah.
When I'm learning, like right now, I'm teaching myself to edit. So when I do my videos now, I do my own intro and outro to my edits now. And I that's my creative time. Me learning how to do podcasting. That's me doing my creative time. So yeah, that's me implementing and making a space for that because I am a dualpreneur. So I work a full-time job doing what I'm doing, but I do that so that I can have I work my full-time job so I can have the liberty to put my time and my effort into my purpose. So I'm working on purpose. I'm not working just because.
Yeah, working on purpose. I'm writing it down, which is why I'm pausing. So, what kind of things, but do you like hiking? Do you like cooking,
Oh, no, okay, so these are,
music,
okay, ah, so,
poetry?
okay, so those are my hobbies. Okay. I used to like hiking until I realized that I haven't hiked in like over 25 years or something like that. Because I went to California and tried to hike Griffith Park, and that was a, I was like, oh, like, why is my heart beating so fast? Now I'm trying to create space for new hobbies, but I like to sing. I do sing outside. So I was a worship leader for my church for years. I like to, like I said, I like to do things in the community. My hobby became my passion. So speaking is really where a majority of my interest lies now for this part of my life because I just love to be. I get a thrill after I get the little nervousness of being when I hit the platform. It's just a certain just feeling that you get when you do that. Let's see, foods. I love fine dining, so I love to go out to eat. I love jazz music. I like jazz, the real music where you got the big guy on the bass. Guitar, the big bass guitar, not the electric bass guitar, but that one that's almost as tall as he is, and the guy with the fingers on the piano doing the jazz, the smoky Philadelphia jazz joints that they used to have. That's why I miss going to Chris's was it Chris's jazz place up there in Philly. Just I love to be able to do things like that. I love camping. I love nature. I haven't been able to do it as much because you have to be married to somebody that likes to do camping and stuff like that. So now that I'm married, my wife don't like that stuff, so I can't go camping by myself. I like to camp with people. Nah, it's not fun doing it by myself.
I have to say, on that note, a little side note of so working totally off of something that's not necessarily true, but there is a music video about it. So we're Jewish, and our kids, we would say Jews don't camp because my husband and I don't camp. And there actually is some kind of a music video thing or a video about like Jews not camping. So,
That's not. I volunteer at the Jewish Community Center. Don't you think those? Y'all take those kids out all the time.
And I'm just saying, like, I'm speaking, I'm Jewish, I can say this. So, our kids kind of, because we never wanted to camp. So, we never, so this is what you teach your kids, and this is what they grow up with. So, then you fast forward to one of the rabbis came into the synagogue who was really young and he camped all the time. And our son, he looks at him and he goes, "You're Jewish?" It's like, yeah, he's a little Jewish. He's a rabbi. I'm like, we just told you that because we didn't want to
Didn't tell them about the camp that you had to go out for that they do for the JCC.
camp. Like, no, they didn't do all that. So they didn't do all that.
To be
We went to
there.
the beach. So yeah.
The beach is good.
And there's snakes potentially, but that's a whole other issue. But
Oh, that was
I just had to respond to that. That's, what you teach your kids. It's they
it does
believe
do
you.
that.
They do, for better, for worse. So, but the fine dining. So, what kind of food do you like? Any particular kind?
I like pork chops. I'm sorry. I like it's like the steak chops, like the center cut pork chops. I like Restaurants. Let me see what restaurants I like. I like lamb. I'm a meat eater. I can't become a vegetarian just because I like meat.
That's my husband. He's a total carnivore. He's like a, if it's not moving, it's like questionable.
But I
Or
like
if it's
vegetables, I guess.
moving, because I'm a vegetarian, so we're like totally
Okay.
opposite.
But I
Yeah.
like vegetables. So now there are some nice restaurants that are now doing great vegetable meals. I don't mind. I'm going to have to, now that I'm starting to travel more, I got to include vegetables because I'll be huge if I don't. I got to get the greens in me and the exercise. That's what I'm trying to work on in this quarter of my life. I got 5 years to get it straight.
There we go. Before you get to that 5-0.
That 5-0. No, because here's the thing. I didn't believe anybody when they told you that when you hit your 40s, and like, we're going to tell you that you can reel me back in. But they told me, okay, when you hit 40, you're going to gain weight. And I didn't realize when I went from gaining weight and then like, I hit 40 and gained 10 pounds. And I'm like, oh, 10 pounds? I'll get that 10 pounds. I'm now 45 going to 46, still trying to get rid of the 10 pounds I gained 5 years ago. So I heard again, when you hit 50, you gain some more. I'm like, heck no.
See, it's totally, well, it's nice to hear it from a man, because for women, it's menopause and all this other stuff. That's the reasoning for the gaining. So that's a whole other thing. But I can tell you that my husband, who he's 60, and he has never looked better in his life. That man has like 15% body fat on him. Because he just has an exercise regiment that he really sticks to and he just loves.
He makes it bad for the rest of us. So I'm sitting here like just running around Cooper Rivers Park, and there's a 70-year-old guy that looks like better than me and got better muscles than me. He can make it around Cooper at 3.5 miles without having a problem. I'm getting there a mile looking like I'm having a heart attack. And I'm not fat, so what
I
do
know. It's
I'm not big.
inspiration.
I'm not big. That's intimidation. I will not be shamed by my physique.
It's intimidation. We'll call it inspired.
All
It's so funny. So, is there anything else that you would like to add on that as far as creativity, working it into your own life?
no, you just gotta. I guess because I'm part creative, it's a part of my life, so it's not as hard to do it. Because again, my wife does a lot of plays and production, so I'm pretty
Okay.
much surrounded by creativity. And you know, my church is very supportive of the arts, so we have a lot that we're doing. Even now that we're switching because of COVID, we had to switch to a digital. So even learning, you know, we've had to create a whole entire digital studio in our church. So that gives me an opportunity to be able to say, hey, I'm in front of cameras more. Why don't I just do this and learn this because it's only going to make me better on the outside. So that's what I kind of do now is I look for opportunities that sync up with what I'm called to do because it's going to complement me and make me stronger.
Yeah, what does your wife do?
My wife is she edits and has her own editing business. She works with a chemical company doing quality control, but her passion is the art. So she writes production for plays. She used to teach dance. She does a lot right now with she wrote her own book, so she's an author before me. My book comes out the end of this month, but she had her book last year, so she beat me on that one. But she's a creative and she's a empowerment force all by herself. So she's an awesome woman.
Wow. Well, congratulations to both of you. Tell us about this book. So writing is obviously an outlet for you too. Tell us about the book.
Yeah, you know, writing is not necessarily an outlet. I can do it. It took me the longest time to get this book out of me, but this my first book is a leadership book because that's part of what I talk about is leadership. And the concept is called Everyday Leadership for Everyday People. And what it shows people is that leadership is not a position that's meant for a few people. We all have influence. And if we all have influence, it means we're all leading in some kind of way. So leadership is a skill that gets to be developed. So I wrote it on a high school level, but it hit so many different levels. But I talk more about in this time being able to look in the mirror and see who you really are and accept who you really are first. Because you can't lead other people until you can lead yourself. So we come across those things that we do. You know, I use a chess theme on the book because the first chapter talks about that that you're not cannon fodder, and what I mean by that is that most people see themselves as pawns on the chessboard. And I said, but the pawn in chess is one of the most powerful and more versatile pieces. Even though it can only move but two ways up the board, if it ever gets to the other side, it can actually change into any of the other pieces on the board.
Wow. It's powerful.
So we have more to us than we realize, but we got to get to the other side. And part of it is, yeah, I might have to work a little harder to get there, but yeah, once I get there, the freedom, I can choose to be a rook and I can fly up and down the board. I can be a bishop and go up and down the board. I can be the knight. I can do all those things. And I have more available to me if I can just push to the end.
Yeah. Well, I really like what you said about the book, and that it's maybe not necessarily a passion of yours per se, and it might not come the easiest. You may not have said that part, but the fact that you had a story within you that you needed to get out, and you wanted to
Oh,
get out,
yeah.
and you need to share it. And I think that's an important thing to notice, and to is that you don't have to be this amazing at everything. But it's getting that story out, which is going to benefit so many people. People don't need all this flowery, complicated terminology. They want real.
They want real. And that's what's missing in a lot of things is it's about less than 100 pages, but I wrote it in digest form. Because I want you to be able to put this book in your pocketbook. And I put it in there and say you can take it with you on the plane. And the thing about it is that it's not about being deep, it's about being effective. I was telling somebody the other day, motivation is not motivation unless I reach you.
Yeah, it's interesting because within the classroom, what I learned so much about was at certain points I always questioned. I was like, oh my God, can I do this anymore? Predominantly where I taught was urban settings, and there was just a lot going on all the time, and there was so many, what I'm so grateful so much for learning is, I mean, just so many situations that you're dealing with at one time. And just, of course, within teaching, just in general, learning that it's not just about conveying information, it's about trust, it's about building relationships, it's about connection, it's about creating a safe space, and understanding that it's not personal, that if somebody's responding in a certain way, there were so many factors that had to be considered. Did a person eat that morning? Did they have a safe space to sleep? What was the family dynamic going on? Were they up early in the morning taking care of a sibling? There was just
You
so
hear
many,
those stories.
there were
When you hear
so
those
many
stories,
things,
yeah.
so
When
many
you hear those
things.
stories, it's horrible because I did a graduation for Camden one day, and just hearing the stories of what these students had to go through, and I'm like, I don't remember it being like that when I was young.
Yeah, there'd be so much. There's one student, as she's jumping out in my head, is she, oh my God, like there were so many factors before she walked into my room as to things that could happen. And within a space of allowing space, there'd be structure set up, but within a space of ex allowing for expression, she could explode because if somebody said the wrong thing or looked at her the wrong way, there could be a fight. So we just established a language where she started to be able to trust me, where I would say, give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down if you can walk into this room right away, or if you need to take a break on the bench first. Like, let's just kind of establish it. And it was helpful.
I have to really take that back because I have to take that back. It was like that when we were younger because I dropped out of high school. A lot of that, you look at me now, you wouldn't even think about where I came from. But I dropped out of high school because of what happened was, and my mom was dealing with bipolar schizophrenia. And my dad divorced her in my senior year, left us. And I'm just thinking, just like, yeah, it was like that. We had it was because of the military at the time. I was able to join the military, get my GED, and join the military. But you would never knew that I was a high school dropout if I didn't share it. Because we don't look like what we came through.
No, and you can't judge, There can't be any judgment, and you don't know people's stories. You don't know people's circumstances. Yeah, it's just an amazing. I'm very, very grateful for those experiences, and the teaching of it, because at certain times I would kind of look to the outside and be like, this is because being an empath and being all of this, like I would just be in it. I was in it. Just like we're in it for, and I just was, would personalize things and just feel like I wasn't reaching enough. And this is kind of where I was trying to go with it, was in the whole, in it, within the teaching realm, it's not immediate necessarily as to who you're reaching. So sometimes you'll get immediate feedback, but other times, like I received, 2 years later, I bumped into an old student and he was like, Miss Citron, you're my favorite teacher. I'm like, what are you talking about? You were horrible to me. Your class was horrible. I mean, and he's like, I know you never would have known it. I never showed it to you. But I really just kind of, and he told me the reasons why. And I only say that because you never know who you're reaching
You never
necessarily.
know.
And you
You
don't know
never,
how long it's
never.
going to take to see the results.
One of the best teachers that I ever had was in high school. And basically, I told him, I said, your history class is missing a lot of facts. And it came around Black History Month time. And he was a white teacher. And he said, well, I'll let you do, he said, I'll make a deal with you. I'll let you teach the class off of the research that you do. And that was him developing the teacher in me, because then I picked up, went to the library, studied my Black history, which they weren't teaching me at that time, and was being able to share along the lines and showed me that I really was a good teacher. And he had me teaching in the 9th, 10th grade.
Oh my gosh, that is
But
incredible.
it was people like that that would be able to say, okay, granted, we don't have a very extensive Black history, but for that time, I was able to do it and not from a place of anger. So the issue in there is because we feel like we are not, and this is where you talk about bringing your creative solutions to. That was an example of a creative solution of coping and teaching someone how to cope with something that's not there. I can shout the walls down, and it wasn't like he resisted me, and it wasn't like I was wrong for bringing up the fact, but he showed me a way that I can funnel that and still be respectful and still be able to get it done at the same time. And then we end up bringing Black history into our high school because of that.
See, that's amazing. It wasn't this defensive thing, and I'm the teacher establishing roles. I'm the teacher, you're the student, don't talk to me like that.
Just read
He
the book, Chris. Just read
empowered you.
the book.
He
Yeah.
empowered
And I'm
you.
always, and I've been blessed to have instructors in my life that gave me the ability. I had and I bring him up in my book. Sergeant Major Rodriguez was my JROTC instructor. But he saw how I would mentor young people around me. I was a nerd, didn't fit into anybody's circle, but people respected me in the hierarchies of you know how the hierarchy of school is. And I was able to flow. Being the awkward version of who I was, I was still able to flow. And what he did for me was he created the position of the battalion chaplain. I was the first ever battalion chaplain ever to be established in our local ROTC over two schools. Merely because I was sensitive to my peers and that I was able to relate to my peers and counsel my peers when they needed help. Positions were created for me because what, and that's what you think when you own your creativity, what happens is you force the world to have to reckon with your creativity. And what either has to happen is that either a position is made or filled for your creativity, or they will create a position for your creativity.
So freaking powerful. Okay, so we're getting to the top of the hour. So let's answer the third question, which is basically wrapping it up on things that we've touched. But so why is creativity important?
I think creativity is important because without it, you're missing a link. Everything that has been made, everything that you see that we have today is a matter of, it has evolved from creativity. So when you take creativity out, we lose the Stone Age. There is no invention without creativity. There's no evolution without creativity. All things will stay the same. We would be no different than the fish in the sea without creativity.
Amen. Amen to that. Yeah, that's what I would often be saying to students and things like that is when they'd be saying, Ms. Citra, no disrespect, but I don't want to be here. I don't need to be here. That kind of thing. And I was often kind of going back to that conversation of those shoes that you're wearing, an artist, somebody created those. Somebody created the design. Someone, a place made them. This building that we're sitting in, someone designed this building, made this building. The music that you listen to, somebody wrote the music, sings it, mixes it, like all this, like everything was created by something, by somebody. Invented. Mm-hmm. The idea started with someone and then it came to being. So once you recognize that it is everywhere, because you're right, no invention, no evolution.
You see, teachers have to see things differently other than relaying information. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we've taught teachers to do, is to relay information. What I'm trying to do is, let me say, if I was asked that question by the student, why do I need art? Here, my job is not to teach you to draw within the line. My job is to teach you to see with a different eye. Mm-hmm. What is your interpretation of the flower that's in front of you? And then my job is not to tell you that your flower doesn't look like a flower. Mm-hmm. I need you to see the world, and what art allows you to do is allows us to see what's on the inside of your mind. I just want to release that. Now, if a student, I told a student that, you think that that word would have impacted how they see things from now on? Mm. It challenges us. We have to talk to a different part of the brain.
Yeah, definitely. Oh my gosh, Chris. So please tell people how they can connect with you.
You see me. I know I'm quiet whenever you see me, but
no, this is, I mean, this is, we haven't really gotten a chance to, this is honestly, I mean, Chris and I are part of a similar group with an amazing mission, the Mentor Studio. But we don't really get to talk to each other. So this is the first time we've actually spoken for an hour together and really gotten to know each other more. So I'm really grateful. And honestly, before you tell people how to find you, I know that you're a very busy person, and I truly am very grateful that you have taken this hour to have a conversation. So thank you for that.
Thank you for inviting me. I enjoyed this conversation so much, and just being able to sit with a fellow creative. I love the community that you're building, and like I said, this won't be the last time we'll talk. We'll talk again.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk again. So, please tell people how they can connect with you.
Well, again, guys, this is Chris Hampton, and you can reach me at ChampIM. I didn't spell champion wrong. This is how I spell champion. It's ChampIM. Yes, you are a champ, and I am everything that you need. That IM is you. You are everything that you need to be the champ that you are called to be. ChampIM.org. And you also can reach me on my Instagram on ChampIM Speaks. So right now, if you ever need anything, a speaker for an event, you can always reach out to me.
Great. And I'll put all of this in the bio of the podcast, so it's there and can be seen. And your book, again, comes out the end of this month, correct?
Yes, at the publisher now. So hopefully by the end of this month, going into June, going into the first maybe week or so in June, I should have it. And okay. I'll also be coming out with a second book that I'm a contributor with called You Are Enough. And Les Brown is sponsored, and Dr. Sherwood has sponsored this project. So I'll be writing in the book with Les Brown and Dr. Sherwood as a contributor, along with 60 other writers. And you want to definitely read my chapter. It's called a letter to me from me. So it's coming from the point of the future me talking to the younger me.
Oh my gosh. Love it, love it, love it. So again, I want to thank you, Chris, and I want to thank the listeners, the people that joined us today and listening on the replay. This is all about inspiring, connecting, and sharing stories. So please like, follow, and share so we can extend this conversation. And I just really want you to kind of finish this sentence. This kind of like came to me as Chris and I, as through this conversation, is imagine your blank. Fill it in. Just use your imagination and, I don't know, fill in your own blank. So again, just very grateful. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. And I look forward to connecting really soon. So thanks, everybody. Bye.
Feeling inspired? There are so many ways to do things for you, to get yourself moving, to get your creative juices flowing, and to have fun. Check out I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. Go to iamcreativephilly.com, iamcreativephilly, PHILLY.com, and check out the experiential kits. Check out Creative Shway, which is all about creative inspiration and guidance. And for Express Yourself Publishing, there's so many multi-author book opportunities. So I would love to chat with you so much. Everybody's creative. Everybody has a voice. Everybody has an expression. And I can't wait to meet you. Thank you so much for taking this hour to listen to our stories and share the energy. And I wish you a wonderful morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in this world. Bye, everybody.